Welcome to Success Authority's Conversation Street with Leadership Authority Peter Beaumont and with Business Culture Authority Ron Lehman and me, Linda Ruland, Success Authority's founder.
If you're a business owner, CEO, and you realize you're not using LinkedIn probably effectively, and I get the target audience thing, and once you've hopefully established what you're doing there, let me start with the profile. How would you make a better use of your profile on LinkedIn, Joanne?
Well, first of all, you should think of it this way. I mean, your profile can be a 24/7 salesperson, right?
Right.
It really should be. In terms of CEOs and executives, I typically write their profiles differently. But the first thing you would just want to know is how you communicate your personal brand and the brand of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, there's some really basic things, that I see people not leveraging that big header image. So if you're the CEO of this company, and you really want people to know this is the brand you're the CEO of, that's a giant billboard that should be used to brand that company.
Yeah.
Everybody should know by now you need a decent profile picture. That should be a given. But your headline should communicate, in my opinion, more than I'm just the CEO of XYZ company. I think having a headline that in a few words really articulates, your business, your industry, that's helpful. Your about section is really a condensed version, in my opinion, of your executive resume. And I'm talking about CEOs and, executives. I typically think for those people, less is more, but you want to key in on, very specific things in terms of what you want to communicate. It could even be about your career story. So you're establishing credibility. That's really what you want to focus on, leadership and credibility, if you're in that type of a role. And past experience in your profile, if you've been in a leadership role in previous companies, you want to make sure that even in a few sentences, you communicate that, because it shows your leadership. It maybe shows your trend in industries. These are the things you want to communicate in terms of that role. If I were writing a profile for, a salesperson or something, it would be entirely different. Really establishing credibility. Why am I credible in this industry and this company? What makes this company credible?
Yeah, I think you said something earlier, I think, I maybe wondered. There has been a shift from you've trying to find a job with LinkedIn, right? So you've got to be there because somebody's looking for you, because they've come up with products like Indeed and I guess, and I'm wondering where they're going to go with Sales Navigator, and which is as you know very well, paid for.
Yep.
Sophisticated search thing. So, and I also wonder where they're going to go with, I feel like they're at a YouTube crossroads where they want to charge, but so now they're putting ads in, but they haven't quite crossed that line. Do you know what I mean? The premium is not, I think I can see that going up, and I can see potentially ads coming in unless you pay for a premium membership. All of which worries me, by the way.
Well, I can tell you this, they made a major shift in the last quarter to a premium. So they're pushing that. They want people to be paid subscribers now in order to get more information.
Yeah, I wonder how much they're going to cut us off from, if that's possible. Because we get a lot, you know, explain to me why you would go premium, Joanne, just out of interest.
Oh, well, I can tell you, first of all, the bottom line is it's pay to play now. And so you get better data with a paid subscription. It's as simple as that, really.
So what sort of data?
You get better data. You get analytics that are better information with a paid subscription. One of the biggest moves they made this year is they moved the Who's Viewed Your Profile from free accounts to paid.
I saw that, yeah.
And I think if you're not taking advantage of that feature, there's so much data behind that.
Mm-hmm.
That is really important. So I don't care what role you're in, but we're talking about, you know, CEOs and executive level folks. I would want to know what industries are viewing my profile. Who are these folks? Is it people I want to connect with? Is it people I'm already connected to? I think you can derive a lot of data from that.
Yeah. Okay. So, what else? Is that it, do you think?
In terms of premium?
Yeah, choosing premium versus not, yeah.
Well, I think the access to the business insights are really important.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using LinkedIn as a marketing tool, a marketing tool, you want to derive the data from that.
That's true.
The other thing that LinkedIn has done, which is I just don't understand at all, is they're on a free account now, they're limiting the number of personalized invitations you can send a month. I mean, why you would do that on a free account makes no sense to me, but I think that could change because there's been a lot of pressure put on them about that. But a paid account, that's lifted, right? You can send as many personalized invitations as you want to. You can also send in mail, being messages to
that's a good point.
Not in your network.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, right. Yeah, because you can't connect. You can still invite people to connect, right?
You can.
Hmm.
I typically suggest to CEOs, depending on what their goal is, that you turn on creator mode, which tends to stop a lot of the spam and the miscellaneous invitations that a lot of leaders don't have time to answer. But in exchange for that, you know, it turns into the follow button instead of the connect button. And so I think having a content-driven strategy and turning on creator mode, then you're encouraging people to follow you, and you could develop a thought leadership strategy versus getting all kinds of just kind of spammy invitations.
I didn't know that you could. There was a creator mode. Again, that's just in premium, right?
No.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, that's been out almost 2 years now.
Yeah, I'm so 5 minutes ago, I can tell. That's really interesting, actually. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm. Yeah, it is. So having that follow button instead of the connect button, if you're not a savvy LinkedIn user, people just will follow you. They don't know that they still can connect with you. So there can be some advantages to that.
Yeah. You won't get bugged so much.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed is that they try and force you to connect sometimes. I think it's sometimes somebody trying to connect with me. And then I see, actually, I undid one yesterday where I thought it was somebody trying to connect. So I went to check it out and thought, yeah, they look okay, I connect. Then I realized it was a list of these are people you may want to follow, right? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So they're coming up with some smart techniques to help you increase your relationship base, I guess. Yeah. All right. So, well, that helps me understand that aspect. I wanted to move on to, I hadn't planned on asking this originally, but I've been struggling, as you know, I've been struggling with SCGC in terms of a LinkedIn group, you know, and getting any activity. And you know that because you go on and help me out. But what is it? Is LinkedIn groups, is it just me or are they generally just dying?
Yes and no. There are some very active groups out there that, right. You know, as you know, if you've been on LinkedIn a long time, groups were really active a few years back.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Everybody was into groups. And then, like typical of LinkedIn, they changed a lot of things that admins can do and this and that. And people just went away from it.
They did limit things you could do. You couldn't send out messages to the group and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Which you used to be able to do. Yeah.
But there are some things I would encourage you to look at. So if you were trying to determine what are people in my industry talking about, okay? If I was running a company, I would want to use it as a research tool. So, you know, you can identify groups that might be within your industry that might be worth exploring. So, you know, in the search bar, you could type in a topic name, and then when you filter to groups.
Mm.
And then it will show you all the groups that might align with what you searched for. So, then what you want to look for, this is new, is there'll be a green button on some groups on their header, and it says active group. So LinkedIn assigns that header to groups where people are actually active. Mm. And they are out there. So let me give you an example you could research later.
Yeah, sure.
There's a group. If you put in the search bar advertising and marketing industry professionals,
mm-hmm.
they have 594,000 members and their group is very active.
Mm.
So it's not all or nothing. You do need to do some research and look for those active groups. Now, there are some other advantages. So once you join a group, obviously I wouldn't bother joining a group that's inactive. And the other way you can tell, even if they don't have the active group button, look to see when the last post was made. You know, if the last post was 2019,
not very active. Hmm.
Right. But if they are active, you can join, and then it gives you the ability to message anyone in that group directly. You don't have to be connected to them.
Right.
The other thing is, if you find an active group and you just kind of want to look and see, what are these people talking about? There's a gray bell icon also in the top of the header, and if you click on it, that means you're going to follow the conversations in the group, and you'll get a notification of when people post. It's worth exploring. How do you grow these? It's very difficult, I will tell you. I think you have to determine whether it's worth your effort or not. because, you know, you can say all day long, you know, we're posting this in our group and join our group, but getting people to actually take an action is very challenging.
And that's been my experience. In fact, I'm almost kind of like, what's the point?
You know? And from an admin perspective, there's not enough features for you to
encourage Interaction. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
I would just use it, you know, as a research tool.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, and I think that's a really good idea. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I've been scribbling.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Nice. Good
Speaking
answer.
Speaking of research, Joanne, is there any way to know from a statistical perspective how many, let's say, CEOs versus how many technical people versus how many salespeople or HR people are on LinkedIn?
Yes. Yeah, so you can determine that roughly by title, doing a title search. So if you do a title search, let's even refine it further. Let's say you want to know everyone who has the title CEO who lives or who works in the greater Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And you make that search and it will tell you exactly how many have that title.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can easily find out that information.
I'd never thought. Now they changed, correct me if I'm wrong, Joanne, you used to be able to do quite a bit of research, right? And I think they changed that at some point, did they not? So, because you used to be able to do exactly what you just described, but get it down to states, get it down to cities, right? Can you still do that?
Yes. In fact, they actually expanded on the filters that you can use.
Really?
Now, of course, if you have a premium account, you get more filters.
Really?
Yes.
Surprise.
But on a free account, there are a lot of ways you can filter down that search. So you can even search by, I want to know, you know, a certain title that works at a certain company in a certain city. I mean, there are a lot of filters available, and that's what makes LinkedIn valuable.
That's a really, really valid point, because, and I don't think people use it for that capability, and I certainly haven't thought that. So, you know, again, for CEOs and, you know, marketing departments, that's a tool that I think they're still shallow in terms of what they're using it for. At least that's a generalization, but I think that's probably a fair assumption. Yeah.
Is that kind of what you all find working with these folks?
I do.
Over the years, I've gotten a little suspicious that even a CEO is actually somebody who is being really put out there by an admin. So it tends to make you wonder if you've ever really reached the decision maker.
Maybe that's true. Although, you know, you have to remember everybody has an individual profile. So if they are, in fact, the CEO of this company, you can't really change that. I mean,
do they have to have their own email associated with their profile? That admin can't have more than one email, can that admin? Okay, so that helps.
Yep.
I've noticed too, if I go back to somebody that I know is a CEO and I look at their profile over time, if it's not changing at all, I kind of get the sense that they're not really looking at that and necessarily responding to things.
Yeah. Well, you can tell by also looking at their activity. Now, I'm not suggesting a lot of CEOs are active, unfortunately. The more savvy ones are.
Yeah.
But if you open somebody's profile and you click on their activity, you can see if they've ever commented, reacted, or done anything.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Conversation Street. For more information or to schedule a private conversation with Success Authorities, email us at inquire@successauthorities.com.